back to another podcast episode of Be Unique. This podcast, we'll say, has been 5 years in the making. And why is that? Is because I'm doing a podcast with a good friend of mine named Quinn. When I say good friend, we've been best friends since high school, since our senior year. No, excuse me, our sophomore year. And this friendship has continued ever since today, and it will continue, I hope. Fingers crossed. And he's laughing behind the microphone. But Quinn is a great friend, and we've kept in touch even being in Brazil on my mission and doing stuff like that. A little bio about him. He's a footwear concept creator and designer, graduated from the University of Central Missouri and a bachelor's in fashion. He also attended a academy called Pencil Academy, which focuses on the shoe design industry. He's traveled to a lot of countries on the other side of the world. He studied in London for 6 months, a Kansas City native, moved to Plainfield when he was 5, ran track in middle school all the way up until college, also played soccer, and just is interested in fashion and loves the concept of designing shoes and figuring out where that next step will go in his life. So Quinn, thanks for doing this with me. This is exciting, and we'll dive deep into our experiences in high school. But just,
yeah, thank you for having me, Logan. It's been honestly 2 years since I've actually seen your face.
Yeah, it's been a while,
and it's looking good.
Well, thanks.
Aging well.
I appreciate that. Yeah, me and even being distant, me and Quinn keep in touch, and there's another friend of ours. His name is Rob. And we all just got back from breakfast, which is a good experience and a good moment for us to share stories of us being dumb in high school and doing things like that. But today our podcast is focused on Quinn and who he is and what makes him unique. So Quinn, tell us what it was like growing up in Kansas City, like you said, where you're from, and then moving on to Plainfield and that childhood experience.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I was obviously born in Kansas City, lived on the Missouri side for 2 years of my life, and then actually moved on to the Kansas side over in Leawood for a year and a half or so. And then slowly found my way into Illinois with my dad's job moving here and everything. So I don't have much of a memory of the whole Kansas City area. I do remember like my second house very limitedly, but obviously I was only like 3 or 4. But yeah, so we moved into Plainfield, literally right across the field from Plainfield Central. You've been there many times.
Where we attended high school.
Yep. And I have been there since, honestly. My sister was born there, not that we're getting into her at all, but she's still living there. So yeah, living in Plainfield, obviously, it's pretty chill. There's not too many things to do in the sense of like activities-wise, but we definitely managed to make things happen.
Yeah, and you talked about in your bio, and I also know that sports were a big part of your life, and you grew up doing soccer and running track, and that's how me and Quinn got to know each other. And I want to kind of throw this semi-trivia question of if he remembers how we became friends.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. I honestly don't. That's probably the one thing I'm really bad at is remembering how I meet people. Like, I can remember people forever, and I can, like, remember good times with people, but the first real interaction I've had with anybody, I don't remember that ever, no matter who it is.
Let me refresh your memory then. So this is what happened is my freshman year, I played volleyball. And then my sophomore year, me and Quinn were in the same math class.
Oh, no. I'm remembering now.
And we sat in the back, and we were just talking about sports, and I was telling him how I was going to do volleyball again. And he's like, dude, you should try out track. I was like, no. He's like, come on, run track. It'll be fun. We can hang out outside of class, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, all right, sure, why not? So from there, I ended up joining track because of Quinn, and we just became friends. And we would do mostly hanging out more than actual track when we were at track practice. But I think those were better memories than actually doing it.
Especially the indoor year, this, you know, season. Like, it's, you know, it's always cramped and crappy outside. So we got stuff done. You pole vaulted and I ran, so we weren't really that close in the sense of, like, actually doing track stuff. But anytime we had downtime, we were always just, hanging out, messing
like
around.
Before the meets actually started, we would be hanging out. On the bus, we would always sit together.
The bus.
It was just good experience for us to hang out. And then from that, we would hang out outside of track. And then we kept in touch, like I said, up until today. Is there any memorable moment you have from us running track together that comes to your mind?
I mean, probably if I thought really hard, but I don't know if with the time limit we got here, I don't know.
No, go ahead.
Oh, man, let's see what we got. Honestly, almost every indoor meet was its own memory. Like, they are always, like, just some crazy thing would happen. Just getting that many people in one room running, you know, they're all out. It was intense. I do personally remember any time I did a 4x4, especially at night during spring season, that was probably the best time to run. Especially if you're the anchor. Oh my gosh, the adrenaline rush you got from running the anchor of a 4x4 was just the best experience. I miss that to this day still. I loved running 4x4s. The whole team would get on the edge of the track and they just cheer their hearts out. And a little insight on my nickname back in high school for track. I got called the ostrich. Probably more maybe how I looked when I ran. I am kind of tall and lanky, so I think just that whole, you know, look and everything. People just call me an ostrich, and some people thought that was kind of offensive. I'm like, I don't care. It does not bother me at all. So I thought it was hilarious, honestly. And so when I ran those 4x4s, people would be screaming, ostrich, as I'm coming around the corner. And you just see these other teams like, what the heck are they talking about? What is happening? And that, I think, just was hilarious, honestly. Just track was a really good experience.
Yeah, it was fun from the memories that we shared. Did we ever win? No. Did we win individually? Yes,
yes.
At some events.
Team-wise, yeah.
But were we good as a team? No, but I really didn't care about that. I just cared about hanging out with people that I enjoyed and also just being a better person through athletic sports.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Are there people you still keep in touch with? Coaches, teachers, students from school?
So not like through texts or phones, but every now and again I'll go back into school just because my sister's still there. And then I'll kind of walk by some of the rooms and then, you know, if they're around, I'll be like, hey, what's up? What's happening? Especially with Pereiro.
Yeah,
like,
Coach Pereiro.
Like, if I see him, he's always super exciting to talk to. He always really does care about his students and what they're up to still. So I haven't talked to anybody in, like, a year or so, but besides other friends like Kirsten and Katie.
Yeah.
But other than that, not really. Especially track-related people. Those people are all doing their own thing. You know, so.
They've done, like you said, they're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
I want to jump into our senior year, which is memorable. Not being memorable from doing ridiculous things, but just being dumb within ourselves. And I want to ask you if you can retell the story of us and our balloon baby prank.
Okay. So this involves Logan, Rob, and myself, you know, the three musketeers, or however you want to call us.
We were always hanging out, always, yeah, always.
Always together, no matter, someone would be at work and we'd still be hanging out, like, you would be over at Subway and we'd still hang out. Totally off topic. Anyways, back to the story. So, Keegan is another one of our friends back from high school, and he was dating this girl named Brenda. But then they kind of broke up, and then there was this, you know, just some rumors and weird stories that were obviously super fake and not real, but we were obviously going to have fun with these stories. And so one of them was that Brenda had gotten pregnant, and so then we were like, oh, it's Keegan's kid. And so us three go to Jewel, pick out this, like, bumblebee-looking balloon, super kiddish, really hilarious, and we got this little card, like, saying, like, it's a boy. And then we kind of forged, like, a Brenda-looking signature on it. Obviously, it didn't look anything. We don't know what her signature is. But put it in the envelope, and then we get in my car. All three of us drive over to his house. I park around the corner. And then across the street was another friend of ours, so we hid behind his car. One of us slowly walked over the front door, set, you know, the balloon down with a little weight, and then the card underneath it. Ring the doorbell, ding-dong ditched him and everything, ran across the street, hid behind the car and watched. I think I had like a video back of it too. I don't have it anymore because it was worth it. It's a night video. You can't see anything.
Right.
So then it wasn't even him that answered it. I think it was his sister that answered and she's kind of like, okay. So I think she like calls her mom or dad over. They come over like, what the heck? So then Keegan finally gets called over and he's like looking at it, being all... You can just tell from the distance, right? He's, like, super annoyed by us. He just gets annoyed by stuff super easily. And then, oh, my, it just killed me because he never brought it up at school. Never brought it up.
Never.
He never knew we did it. I thought that was, it almost ruined the, like, anticipation of him coming to class and be like, who did this? Like, so we never got the, like, full payoff, but we know.
Yeah, we know. And it's still funny today. We brought that up at breakfast this morning, talking about it and how funny it was. We actually tried to do that prank on Rob.
Originally,
Me and Quinn went to his house, ding-dong ditched his house, waited for him. Nothing. We were there for like 20 minutes waiting for him. Nothing. And he was taking a shower. And then we told him to come outside to see the balloon. He goes out his garage door, and we're like, okay, this wasn't funny.
He was ruined everything.
This is how we went and brought it up to Keegan. And you mentioned before how I worked at Subway and the dumb things we would do. So I worked at Subway, and while I was working, I'd close at 9 o'clock. Quinn and Rob would hang out before so that they can come pick me up, and we would hang out after. What's some things that we did after I got out of work?
Well, I just remember you were the only person that worked at that Subway when you closed, which for me is weird. You usually have at least two people closing and stuff. So you just would just be there with two friends. Like, it was so sketchy, honestly.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, we were good citizens, but it was definitely possible to do anything. Mm-hmm. So right by where that Subway was a bowling alley, which is obviously Pioneer Lanes, which is now Plainfield Lanes. Everyone around here obviously knows what that is. So a lot of times we'd actually go there, hit that place up, and I don't know if you remember, you probably do.
I'm waiting.
We were called the Strike Team.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
It was super dumb, obviously. But basically, the only goal we had every time we went bowling was to get a strike.
One
strike. You were able to be on the strike team if you could get a strike. We went with a few other people, and then they ended up getting strikes, but like one of us didn't. So then they like kicked us out. There's air quotations around that because we obviously didn't get a strike. It was just something to be done with, obviously. Yeah.
You know? Something to do in Plainfield because there's not too much. Going on to this next question that I'm going to ask you, if someone would come to Plainfield, and I asked my brother this a couple podcasts ago, what he would recommend doing in Plainfield. What would you recommend from your point of view to do in Plainfield, Illinois?
To go to any other town around us and do something there.
That's a good answer because there is nothing to do.
So the big thing about Plainfield is it's like a place where people live. We have like over 40,000 people that live here, but there's no major businesses. So every person that works here usually leaves, you know, to go to their job. So there's nothing major. You got the mall, which is not even in Plainfield. It's in Joliet. Which has the movie theater as well. We don't have a movie theater in Plainfield because the one up north is on
Naperville.
The edge of Naperville, Aurora. Mm-hmm. We got the bowling alley. Woo! Actually, downtown Plainfield has actually gotten a lot better in the last 3 years or so. It's like, it's lively now. I don't know if you've been down there.
I haven't, no.
They got really good restaurants now, but that's just food, so it's still not anything entertainment-wise. But honestly, just go anywhere else for entertainment. Like downtown Naperville, you can actually do stuff. There's shopping and stuff like that. Here, you got food. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's really good food. But that's you know, maybe two hours of your day.
And then that gets kind of boring after that. Yeah. So maybe that's the reason why, and it might not be the reason, but I know you did a lot of traveling growing up.
Yes.
What are some memorable places that you've been going outside of Illinois? You can keep it within the states, keep it outside of the states. I know you've been to a lot of places.
So honestly, we were talking about this earlier, but I love Yellowstone. I've been there 3 times, I think. And
that's why I'm telling you to come. You got to go. I'm up in Idaho.
I am totally down. The wilderness is so fun. A big thing, which I don't know if we're going to get into, but both of us were Boy Scouts and everything. Eagle Scouts and all that. So we did a lot of camping separately from each other. So I really do enjoy camping, but Yellowstone's just magnificent. It's so beautiful there. And the atmosphere, I don't know. It's a perfect place. But that's just national park-wise. I love national parks. But I've been to the Abacos, which are in the Bahamas. And unfortunately, they actually just got hit with that hurricane a few months back. So the place that I've been to like 3 times, it's decimated. It does not exist anymore. Yes.
Go ahead. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been a lot of places, especially through Europe. Luckily with my family's ability to fly everywhere. Mm-hmm. I've been many, many places. I don't know where to start or where to go. Italy. I really enjoy Italy for the sense of what they have. The weather usually is pretty nice there. They have a lot of very historical and like entertaining things. The people there are lovely. They are insane at driving. Like, they're scary drivers is the best way to put it. Germany is beautiful, and it's very, very similar to where we live, especially in the Bavarian area, which is southern Germany. That's obviously, I'm from that kind of heritage, so it just felt very homely to me.
Yeah,
personally.
Quinn is whiter than white.
I really do. The Alps of anything, just the German side or the Swiss Alps, Switzerland. Oh, man. I think that might be one of my favorite countries. They just have so many things. I like camping hand in hand with hiking. Oh, they have so many good hiking trails there. Mm-hmm. Hiked a mountain last time. Not like a mountain, but right. Like, you know, it was a trail. I didn't do any like ice pick stuff. Mm-hmm. But, it was awesome. I definitely enjoy the European countries and what they offer. It always boggles my mind because that continent is like the size of the U.S. more or less. Mm-hmm. And so like you just drive from one country to the next. And then that is the same distance as me driving to my freaking school over in Missouri. Mm-hmm. You know, 7-hour trip. You can go through 3 countries, but I get to through 1 state and my school. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, that's eventful. A little jealous of those trips that you made.
Oh, whatever.
And I wouldn't count Brazil as a trip that I made, but it was a good experience, and I need to put other things on my bucket list as well.
For sure.
Let's jump from... Right, because we both went to high school, hung out, then we graduated, then we kind of took our own paths, even though we still kept in touch. That's when I went on my mission. And you went to college,
yes,
which brought you many opportunities. Let's talk about the choice to go to the University of Central Missouri and the things that were done while you were there.
Of course, yeah. So every time I bring people, like, oh, where'd you go to school? I'm like, UCM, it's University of Central Missouri. 10 years ago, it was called CMSU. So people don't honestly even know where it's at. It's 40 miles-ish east of Kansas City, right off of 70, kind of. It's also an hour and 30 minutes west of Mizzou. So it's between those two places. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. Warrensburg is the town it's in. Mm-hmm. It has 9,000 full-time residents, and it has 15,000 students. So, yeah. You think there's nothing to do in Illinois? that's true. In Plainfield, there's nothing to do in Warrensburg. That's for a fact. Like, you can barely bowl there. I think last year they took the bowling alley out completely because they were renovating that part. So I was like, wow, now we have nothing. So what people do is you go and hang out at Walmart. Yeah.
Really?
Ooh, it's fun time. Anyways, get back to the actual. I chose UCM specifically because it wasn't a fashion design degree. It was a fashion merchandising degree, so I got more of the business side and corporate side of the business of just fashion in general, rather than learning how to design a garment. Mm-hmm. Draping, sewing, like I did learn that, but it wasn't exclusively that. I got to learn, you know, how to, you know, become a buyer, you know, world trading,
yeah, important things.
Yeah, so I think it was a more well-rounded degree for myself. I was looking at it, you know, big picture, not just single-minded. Also, it wasn't a bachelor's of arts degree, which obviously that's worth something, but this was a bachelor of science. To me, that meant more. Mm-hmm. So that was another big reason I picked that. And honestly, when I went and did my visit there, the one professor I had, like, she just went off and was like, this is this, and it just kind of blew my mind. I was like, this woman knows everything, and she made that program. She started it 35 years ago, and yeah, she was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed that program. That program was only 100 people big, from freshmen to seniors, only 100 people in it. We had 3 professors, but I think there were maybe 3 guys in the whole program, so... The biggest thing, I think, was because I was one of the few guys, and I actually really did care a lot about the program, I was a really good poster child, mm-hmm. as you could say, for the program. So I was kind of the face of the program for at least the 3 of the 4 years I was there. Freshman year, obviously, you're not really too much to anybody because you're new. But definitely by the time I left, I was like, man, who are they going to replace me with? Because dang.
Yeah.
I did a lot for them. Well, not even for them. I obviously did it because I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed everything I did. I've gone to Vegas a few times with the class, with the program. 2 times for this thing called Magic. It's basically a trade show for products, mm-hmm. for apparel. So that was a cool way to just see how buyers do their business. And then I actually just went in October for... myself personally. Okay. For school, I obviously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've designed and made a pair of shoes out of plastic bags, like, you know, Walmart sacks. And so I wove them together and created a shoe. And so then with that, that was part of my sustainability project I did my senior year and right before I left. And so I used that and put it into ITAA, which is called International Textiles Apparel Association. And with that, they basically accepted me with that shoe. And I thought that was honestly crazy because they only accepted 25% of the applicants.
Really?
And I was one of the lucky few that got in. So in October, I went down to Vegas and met up with my two professors. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I had graduated already, yeah. So I hadn't seen them in a while. So it was nice to see them again. And it was a very academic-oriented kind of thing, whatever you call it. But basically, I got to sit in on a bunch of doctors that have been doing research in, you know, textile building the fields. Like this one person was making fabrics out of kombucha tea foam. So, you know, like kombucha tea, if you know anything about it, it has like a foam film on top of it. And then they would extract that, take that, and then make it into a fabric, basically. Like a non-woven fabric. Yeah, it is crazy. Crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was awesome. Then we also had a this club called FBA, Fashion Business Association, and I was a part of that for obviously all 4 years. And with that, we did a few different fashion shows and some other stuff. I made a few logos for them, for the club, and even for our program itself. I did a few patterns as well, so I have a little bit of experience. A little bit, quote unquote.
No, I think you have a lot of experience. And I remember getting home from Brazil and I called you to catch up and you told me about your experience you had going to London for six months. And you mentioned that in your bio. Let us know what happened, like why you went there, what was it for?
Yeah, so I was always planning on trying to do some sort of study abroad. And originally I was like, oh, I'll do it my junior year, or fall junior year. And then, which if you guys know anything, that is a bad idea. Don't do it in the last 2 years of school because that's important time. Doing the first 2 years. So luckily I had two girls from the program that were actually going to London spring of sophomore year and they invited me to go with. I'm like, hey, that's a perfect idea. I'll go with two people I know. I'm going to an English speaking country. That was a big thing. I wasn't really going to go anywhere too crazy just so it made it easy for myself. And obviously I was going to be with people and it was a time in my class that I wasn't missing out on too much. And so I went for 6 months with the Stephanie and Tiffany and had a fantastic time just getting to live in England. We live probably 5 miles from central London, which sounds close, but being that congested and that dense, it actually took very long for train to get into Waterloo Station.
Okay.
It probably took 40 minutes. It was...
What do you miss from London? What do you miss from your experience being there?
Honestly, just being in the city, I think, because they had so much to do there. You could go in and do anything because it was so big. Being out here, you know, playing, there's just nothing to do. I don't know. I just like doing things.
As you guys can tell, Quinn loves Plainfield.
Yeah. And I don't dislike it. Don't get me wrong. It's just, there's not, a lot more eventful out there. You know, there's more for me. I'm excited to do more.
Yeah, and I'm thinking from this experience that you had in London and also from your desire and your passion for fashion, it got you to the internship or the, I don't know, you always correct me when I say internship, well, but your experience at Pencil.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let us know what happened there, what it is, what you did, how you got into it.
Yeah, so Pencil, it's more of a trade school. I don't know exactly how to explain it. It's called Pencil Footwear Design. So basically, they are based in Portland. Oregon, of course, which is home, well, neighboring to home of many, many major footwear brands headquarters, like Nike and Adidas are obviously big two ones out there.
And your favorite Skechers?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Skechers. Actually, we can talk about Skechers, just maybe in a few seconds.
Okay.
So yeah, Pencil was a really awesome opportunity. My application for them was my trash bag shoe that I made earlier that Dorit mentioned. And
or Rob would say your garbage shoe.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I mean, I don't take offense because that's obviously exactly what it is. It's garbage.
It's just funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I had known about it for probably 2 years or so, and I was waiting to graduate before I tried getting into another type of school. I just wanted, you know, not have to worry about two things overlapping, kind of like that. And Pencil is very prestigious, in the footwear industry, and I was like honestly not expecting to ever get accepted or anything. So I applied for concept creations, is like that part of the class. They added new stuff, so they had 2D design, 3D design, which is like on the computer modeling. They had color and materials and concept creations. And so I was like, you know, I really like, you know, putting shoes together and that whole thing, which I guess we didn't even get to talk to about.
Which we can still talk about.
Side note, everybody. I've designed shoes in my free time, but I've also taken shoes that exist and have soul swapped them. I've done that for probably 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And I haven't sold any to anybody. I just make them for myself. I'm like this. I like how this shoe feels, and I like the upper, how it looks. So then I cut them up and I glue them together. And that's how I got into, you know, making mm-hmm. shoes.
And they look good. Sense. They look very professional.
Every time I show people, they're like, wait, those are cut up? I'm like, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So anyways, back to the actual story. So concept creations, basically you actually made shoes from scratch. So you had material, flat material, you cut it out with patterns you made from a last that you, it's a crazy thing.
No, go ahead, this is you.
So you got a last, which is basically the mold of the shoes. So, you know, shoes, some shoes fit narrow, some shoes fit wide. That's mm-hmm. the last they use is okay. What makes it that size. And then to design the shoe, a quick way to do it is to do a tape up. So you just put like masking tape on the shoe, on the last, and then you take a pencil, draw what you want the shoe to look like, and then you cut it directly down the middle on the heel and on the front part, you know, the toe. And then you just take that tape up, lay it on paper, trace it out, and then obviously trace all the patterns you have on the tape as well through onto the paper. And then you take that, that becomes your master pattern, which has all the patterns on it. And then from there, you make patterns that obviously correlate to each individual piece on there. So you have the mass pattern that's everything, then you have individual patterns, and then you take all those patterns, you put them on flat material that you want the shoe to be made out of, you cut the material out, usually you put a backer on it, so you find, you know, material, and then you put a nice like soft, you know, backer that mm-hmm. usually you just glue on, and then it gets, you know, sealed when you stitch it all, and then you just run over to a machine and you start sewing. It is that simple. Just kidding, it's not. But so there's actually this guy there. His name's Eustace, and he has made, you know, handcrafted shoes for, we'll say, 30 years. He's 60. Well, I'll give him 30. He might have done it for 40. And at the end of the program, 2 months, you know, and everything, he's like, Quinn, this shoe is, like, very, very well put together. Your seams and your stitch lines are straight. And your pattern making skills, because it's not just sewing, it's like, you know, pattern making and how stuff fits and how it will actually be in a three-dimensional object. It's like the pattern making quality is really well done too and everything. He's like, I have this one class, this basically it's another one of his friends that lives over in Italy that has like one-on-one courses with actually making shoes. So he gave me his information. He basically has given me like a really nice way to get into making more shoes.
That's awesome.
Because I'll say it right now, there aren't very many actual jobs related to physically making a shoe with your hands in a sewing machine. A lot of that goes to, you know, manufacturers over in, you know, Asia. And I obviously don't want to do that. That's not, I didn't get a degree to go over to a manufacturer and sit at a machine uh-huh. to sew shoes together. So I think I might end up going to more of the, either handcrafted Italian leather goods mm-hmm. or even like I was going to get into try to work with a smaller footwear brand
yeah.
to start out
mm-hmm.
and, you know, help them design and move up and then maybe see where it goes from there.
Yeah, you always got to start somewhere to move yeah. your way up and to get to the place where you want to be.
Yeah.
Talking about shoes, I want to jump into our trivia section.
Okay.
And like all podcasts, we'll have a 3-question quiz okay. to see how well you know about your...
Do I get graded on this?
An imaginary sticker if you get 3 out of 3 right.
An imaginary sticker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I can give you one after if we go somewhere. I'll give you a sticker.
Okay.
But first question for our trivia section. Mm-hmm. It is super easy. So if you get this wrong, then you... I don't know. Okay. What material are clogs made from?
That should be wood.
Correct. Yeah. But okay. That's related to shoes, so I thought I would ask it.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Second question is a little more difficult. There is a tree called the Shoe Tree of Middlegate. where people throw their shoes on a tree. Where is this located?
That sounds very medieval. Middlegate.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm stalling because I don't actually know the answer to that. I don't know what that is.
And I didn't know actually where it was either. I just remember seeing pictures from wherever. But it's in Churchill, Nevada. It's probably by Area 51. Some weird thing goes on. Yeah. Yeah. Some government conspiracy.
That, okay. Interesting.
So now you know. So if anybody asks you that, you can tell them Churchill, Nevada.
I didn't get that imaginary sticker.
That's true. I'll still give you something after. Okay, okay. Like a... I don't know.
Okay, what's this last
Okay, third question. So you're one for two.
Yep.
Last one. What was the first shoe that Nike has ever made?
So that should be the Nike Cortez.
Okay.
Back in 1971, 72-ish.
Yeah, that's correct. Hey, that's pretty good, though. You got two out of three, and so that deserves a piece of gum after this. And congrats for taking part in this trivia questionnaire.
Thank
so I just want to finish up by talking to you about your future plans.
Yes.
You're only 22, so there's not too much more that you have to say about your life, but you've done a lot, and it's very appreciative, the things that you have shared with us. But I just want to know what your future plans are. What do you have planned for your life and for your degree and for whatever?
For sure, yeah. So it's funny because I don't know if I'm technically – using my degree in the sense of going into footwear design. It does obviously help me understand the industry as a whole of fashion and how stuff is, you know, done, how buying exists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when someone designs and makes a shoe for a customer, because you don't just design shoes and stuff or design anything that you like. It has to be designed for a specific consumer. And so then you do a whole consumer analysis and it gets kind of intense. Before you even get to design anything. And then you're like, what do they need? Is what you need to be solving for a need, not a want, not a need. And so a lot of shoes obviously nowadays are kind of like, oh, they kind of made for that. And then people like them because they want them or they look cool. But deep down, a real good product is based on a need of something, some kind. If any of you have any connections, let me know.
Yeah, let me know and I'll let Quinn know and we'll figure out what works. And if you guys haven't discovered already how knowledgeable Quinn is about the shoe industry, and if you see his shoe on the shelf one day, you heard him first on my podcast, and I actually knew him before all of you, so I have one up. But I'm excited for his future and what is in store for him, and I hope to see his shoes on the shelf.
Yeah,
Quinn, I want to wrap up our podcast by doing the questions that I always ask at the end,
for sure,
and hopefully you have some good insight like you have been giving us throughout this whole podcast. But the first question is, if your life was going to be made into a movie, what actor would have play you?
Oh, gosh. So I'm really bad with actors' names.
You could pick a cartoon. I don't even care. Pick anybody who...
So I'm just going to do a cop-out just because I think just his personality is great. Captain America.
Oh, Chris Evans?
Yeah, we talked about him earlier. Chris Evans. Uh-huh. Like, everyone loves him, and so I think he's a great guy, and...
And Quinn is a great guy, so I see where that ties into.
Obviously, it's kind of a cop-out just because, like, honestly, I couldn't even remember freaking Chris Evans' name. but I think he'd be a good fit, you know, depending on what part of my life he's playing.
But I don't know if you have the muscles as he does.
But... That's my point. I know. It's like, hey, he's got some blonde hair.
Hey, but that works. That works. All right. Well, then what is the number one thing on your bucket list? I know you've done a lot, but what else do you want to accomplish?
The thing is... I've always had on my bucket list to go to the World's Fair. Like, you know, World's Fair. Like, those are cool. They still exist. If you guys didn't know, they still do happen. They're just kind of low-key now. And I did luckily go in 2015 when I was in Milan. That was my graduation kind of, like, trip. We went to, you know, Milan and everything. And they just happened, luckily, just happened to have the World's Fair there. It was like a foods World Fair. So it wasn't, like, you know, technology and stuff like it used to be back in the day. It was just foods from around the world. But... Totally not answering your question, but that is one thing that was on my bucket list, which is now mine. To say what's on my bucket list now, I haven't honestly thought too much about it. I've just been kind of living in the moment, but
which is not bad.
Yeah, but I think I want to design my own shoe. I think for my own brand, honestly, one day have my own name, brand name. I think that's my goal.
In
far future,
if you get to that point, I want to be a ambassador, sponsor, whatever you want to make
Logan
sure.
Logan will be the top of my phone book list.
And you guys are hearing this, that he'll pick me.
This is on the internet. It's on you know, wherever we're at.
Yeah. So that's exciting. Yeah. And I hope you can get accomplish that, because that's always good to work towards something we want to do. Last question, Quinn.
What do we got?
What has been the most rewarding experience in your life so far?
Dang. Honestly, like, graduating college was definitely a big moment, just because it never was super, like, difficult and frustrating for me, but it was definitely, obviously, like, that was, what, 14 years of schooling, mm-hmm. and now it's done, I think, something like that. I think it's more than that, 16, I don't know.
Yeah, from kindergarten up until college.
Whatever it is. So, kind of in that sense, like, just graduating with a degree is a big milestone for me, but one-upping that from just getting that to then just getting accepted and completing the pencil program for me was actually, like, monumental for me, just because I never thought I would ever get in, and so just in that, I felt like I am actually qualified and worthy of actually getting into the footwear industry, mm-hmm. and it's given me confidence, I guess, to know that I am good enough, that I am willing, if I am willing to, get into the industry. It will happen. Just wait.
Yeah, it will. It will. Quinn, thank you for meeting with me. I'm glad we first grabbed breakfast before this with Rob, and yes. we're also able to talk about things that you've accomplished in your life. I'm grateful for our friendship, and I hope we keep in touch, and I know we will. We're planning a big trip to Yellowstone because Quinn loves it, and I'm up in Idaho, just an hour away.
Yeah.
So hopefully that does happen. But the best of luck to you and your fashion
yes, thank you.
Career, and we hope to see your brand or your name on the shelf. And just remember to keep being you, keep on trying, and keep being unique.